At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Yanks and Mets, maybe show a little signage of getting their act together here. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal, by the way, presented proudly by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. So two developments here. One, I'm not even really surprised with Vientos because I expect them to have a really good year. But you got to love the fact that Peterson goes 8 and he kind of stabilizes things a bit. Not just for the rest of the bullpen, you know, get a little bit of a night off here, but for himself. You want to know that you've got that guy. And I've always been a big believer in Peterson's stuff. And obviously, Vientos, you know, we've got to revisit these, Sal and I. But one of the, now I went under, but I didn't think it would be this easy. What the over-under on Vientos' RBI total this year. Rami, if you had to take a guess, I'm not even sure what he's at now, 30-something. What do you think the over-under was for his ribbies? Vientos. Vegas.
Coming into the year, I would have guessed 82.
86 and a half. I mean, where's he at now? 30-something? I really don't have it in front of me. Point being, he has colossally, he's disappeared. I was going to say underachieved. He's really just disappeared. I believe, because I believe in Vientos, because of really primarily October. I know that there's situations in our city with baseball where a guy, you know, whether it's Kevin Moss or, you know, lesser extent Shane Spencer, who was, you know, a competent player that won championships. But there are flashes from guys that really aren't real. And Moss is the greatest example ever. I don't think that that's Vientos. Now, what bothered me early on about Mark Vientos, and I remember saying this the first, they were down in Miami, and I'm like, why the hell is this guy not running out of the box? Like, there was an element of laziness to me, or almost like entitlement, like, and I can't prove this, and I'm certainly not trying to disparage Vientos because I really do believe in him. But if you're a young kid and you're in the middle of all those October moments, he was their best player for October. Pete had his moments, Lindor had his moments, but to me, Vientos was the guy, and consistently. And just because you do it once, I mean, hell, even A-Rod can't walk into camp in 2010 after what he did in 2009, or Matsui. I mean, you just showed up. And there was an indifference to playing hard that I did not get and I did not like. And he was admonished by Mendoza. Lindor spoke to him, being a good leader. And then he just, you know, didn't find it and didn't play as much and got a little bit banged up. And, like, if this is the reincarnation of Vientos, these final 40 games or so, that changes so much for the Mets. And just to put both of the teams on a tee again here, and we get back to these calls, like what's real, level of belief, Yanks showing signs, Mets showing signs. Okay, I would say, because when the Yankees hit home runs, I don't really get overly excited. I enjoy them because it's fun to see, you know, these balls go flying over the fence, but I don't think it's a way to win a championship, and I've said that for many years. So to me, last night, like what's more believable, what the Yankees did or what the Mets did last night? I'm not even saying big picture. This is micro within the macro. Well, I would probably say Mets because Peterson has been really good the last year and a half or so. And Vientos has shown a lot of evidence of being a big-time hitter. Whereas, you know, the Yankee home runs, it's kind of proven to be a little fool's gold this year, if you will. Either way, that's where we're at. BT and South. Sal is off. 888-808-1019. Let me get Ray in Wappingers Falls up north. What up, Ray? How are you?
Hey, BT. How are you doing, man?
I'm good, Ray. What's going on?
Well, first time, long time. It's my actual second call into the station ever. So, but I wanted
by the way, who was the other call? Who'd you call? Mike and Chris? Who was it? Steve?
Gio.
Oh, you cut out there. Gio and, I guess, Boomer and Gio? Boomer, okay.
Yeah, Boomer and Gio. Gotcha. Yep. Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you. Go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah, hopefully you can hang with me. We'll hang up. I got a couple of points, because like you were saying, man, my mind's been bouncing right from the start with a bunch of things. But your first caller had called about, you know, bullpens only getting five innings. They're pulling these pitchers, you know, after five innings. You're getting into the bullpens early, et cetera, right? Mm-hmm. So my uncle taught me way back when, man, defense wins championships, right? Defense wins championships. And then I'm thinking, when I talked to your screener, I was going, maybe it's about offense now. Because if you think about it, how many elite pitchers are there in the league anymore? And if you're going to constantly keep getting into the bullpen, right? Because I was thinking about the Yankees, and they traded for Ryan McMahon about defense. Now I'm thinking, why not Suarez? If you're going to keep going against these, you know, average pitchers, don't you want to go offense? But then I started thinking, BT, does defense win championships? And I started thinking, Florida Panthers looked like they were dead. Look what they did. They had the goaltending, locked it down, right? You look at Oklahoma City, right? Dual threat, but defense wins the championship there. But then you look at the Dodgers, powerhouse. What happened? They just destroyed everyone. So my point with the baseball is, do you think, I mean, is it just sports? Can it evolve? Or is it like, is it time MLB is just going to that offensive point? Like, even the Super Bowl, right? Offense. So,
but the Chiefs didn't throw the ball very well this year. I think they were 28th or 29th in passing. They ran the ball and had defense. You know, it's a broad question, right? I appreciate it. I think it really depends. I mean, probably not the answer you're looking for. I would say this, all right? Think about how Anthony Volpe looked before Ryan McMahon got here. And I mean just defensively. Look at how Volpe's looked since Ryan McMahon got here. It's kind of stabilized things a little bit. A little less to worry about going to his right. I mean, McMahon is, you know, he got the night off here, but last night and Caballeros hit two home runs. I love that guy. But McMahon has brought something that they could not win without that. Like, it was gross. The third base play by the Yankees. It's like they never have a real third baseman. It's always mixing and matching. So I think it really does depend. I mean, I could cherry pick as well. I could say, well, you know, what about the bad boys, the Pistons back in the day? That's a team that won. Isaiah was amazing, but primarily through defense and intimidation, right? What about the most recent Pistons championship with Larry Brown? That was Ben Wallace. That was a defensive team. Now they had clutch with Chauncey, et cetera. I think it depends. The Warriors, I mean, they can bang you out for $150 with Steph Curry and obviously Klay Thompson in his prime, and then, of course, with Durant. But they could also lock you down a little bit with Draymond, and they had some tenacity. So I think the optimal answer to answer this roundabout way here, Ray, is that you have enough of both. I think if you're incredibly deficient in either, I think you're going to come up short. Not that there can't be an outlier, obviously, but like, if you are just a dog-hitting team and you got 9 Ozzie Smiths, you're not going to win the World Series. Yeah, so if you got, you know, 5 Bill Russells out there playing defense and you have nobody that could shoot a 3 in the modern NBA, or just not enough shooting, of course, not nobody, you're not going to win. You really need that balance here. Do the Yankees have that balance? Not enough for me to get on the air and tell you I think they're going to win the World Series. But if things click, I think they've got elements of enough to make it interesting. And then the circumstances very well might dictate if they do or they don't. Who do you play? Who's hot? Blah, blah, blah. How's the pitching shake out? And then from the Mets' perspective, do I think that the Mets have enough elements? I mean, not with the starting rotation the way it's been. But if Peterson, if that's a foreshadow of what's about to come. And Senga's got to get his act together. I know last start was better. So if he starts stringing some starts together here, all right. And obviously, Manaea's been all over the map. But now you see Vientos waking up. and you got some arms in the bullpen who have done a really good job, like Rodgers, and obviously Diaz is a stud, some others. But then you got some guys who have been atrocious. Do they catch the ball well enough? I don't know. It depends who's playing third. Do I love Nimmo in left? No. I mean, like, there's enough problems for the Mets as well for me to say, no, I'm not stamping them a World Series team, which is why I've said all summer, I don't think the Yanks or the Mets are going to win the World Series. But I'm also saying today that there's enough pieces and fragments. If they could all tape them together, I mean, why not? 888-808-1019. Chris is out in Michigan on the Free Odyssey app. Chris.
Hey, BT. Great show, man.
Thank you.
All right, so I'm going to get to my point, but then when I'm done, I want to share a little story about myself and Romney that we have in common.
About Romney? You know Romney?
No, not exactly, but we have a similar story that I found out through listening to...
Date the same woman? Trump.
No, nothing like that.
I got you.
I'm going to get to it.
I got you.
So I go to every series every other year when the Mets come to town. It's my team, you know.
Yeah.
Go to all three games and they come play the Tigers, prop up about three or four rows behind the Mets dugout and just enjoy it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to enjoy it as much as I do when they come here in May and April because of the push we're trying to make for the playoffs. Now, with that being said, I am excited because, like you said, the Rangers, the D-backs, they got hot at the right time, and that's what happened. Mm-hmm. Now, the Yankees and the Mets both have to get hot. You know, they don't have the luxury to limp into the playoffs. They have to go, and I do see both teams doing that. With that being said, with the rosters expanding for September and stuff, I don't see a lot of the players playing unless it's a blowout. You know, you might see Acuna pinch run here, maybe Winker comes back, maybe Siri.
Yep.
And then I really want to see Alvarez not take the surgery and be the backup catcher because I would like Torrens to play and then have that luxury because I don't like Hayden Singer. That's maybe a personal thing, but I like Alvarez's bat even with the thump.
Yeah.
So that's my part. But all right. So the story with Ronnie, he was with Al Cintron a couple weeks ago, maybe it was a week ago,
mm-hmm.
and he told a story when he worked at MLB Network, and I had to call in and share it because it involves the same player. I don't know if you can see him if he's not in his head. If I can tell the story,
I
or
see
whatever.
Him. Yeah, good.
Okay. All right, so I was at a Motor City Con 10 years ago. It was the year that the Mets made that miracle run with Cespedes and stuff.
Yeah, 2015, gotcha.
Yes, all right. So I went there to get autographs and pictures with Rip Hamilton and Ben Wallace because they were doing a thing, go figure, with the going to work Pistons you just mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
And you covered them. I remember you here in Michigan.
I did. I worked there. Yeah, I like that team. All go right. ahead.
Yes, all right. So there was a Tigers table next there. It was a young Andy Dirks. And a guy that looked like Jack Parkman.
Okay, yeah.
Alex Avila. So I'm walking through. He goes, hey, you don't want to get a picture with me? And I'm like, no, I'm a Mets fan, this and that. He's like, I mean, do you know who I am? And I go, yeah, you're Jack Parkman, you know, joking, because he always looked like him with the glasses, the dark beard.
Yep.
And he goes, do you really not want a picture and an autograph with me? I goes, no, because quite frankly, you wouldn't even be on the team if your dad wasn't in the front office. Which was Al Avila.
Yeah, yeah.
And then maybe you could talk to Rami, you know, off the air or even...
So Rami was pretending he was a baseball player? Is that where... I'm confused.
Oh, no.
I am confused.
When Rami worked at MLB Network, he had a run-in with the same player who was walking through the office.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Got it. Yeah, so a little commonality with a little difference with somebody else, Chris. I got you. Rami, what happened, man? You starting trouble?
I'm not starting trouble. So this was Al asked me because we were talking about Fanatics Fest that you were at, we were at, and we were talking about the different people we met.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how so many of the athletes and people we got to meet were great. And so he asked me, was there ever someone you met that was not as great?
Okay.
And so I was like, it wasn't a bad experience. Just a weird story where I'm sitting in like the newsroom area at MLB when I was where I worked there one summer. Maybe this is the reason why I only worked there one summer.
Yeah, one and done. Just like a Duke Cooper flag, one and out.
Exactly. So he walks through and he's standing right by my desk. He's like, someone smells good here. I was like, yeah, I'm wearing a cologne. So I stood up and that was pretty much the interaction. And then I figured because I've done this with everyone, whether it was CeCe who came through there, Pedro Martinez, superstars, right? Sure. Jake Peavy, who were always coming through there.
Jake Peavy on TV, by the way. He's good.
He's really good.
He's good on TV.
And DeRosa, who came through there.
DeRosa's the best.
Whenever any of them came through, I'd introduce myself.
Yeah.
And I'd say, hey, I'm Rami, by the way. And most of them, even if they knew I knew who they were, would be, hi, I'm Pedro. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Because that's just the normal human interaction. I know you're Pedro Martinez. Uh-huh. But, and by the way, he off the air also. Just great personality. Super cool to
have. I've heard that about Pedro. Yeah.
And has this presence about him, despite being like 5'8". Mm-hmm. He's got this. He just has this big presence about him. Anyway, besides the point, Alex, I say to him, I'm like, hey, I'm Rami. And he's like, okay, just kind of nods. And so I said to him, I said, what's your name? And I knew who he was.
What's your name? Like we're in preschool.
I know.
What's your name?
I knew who he was, but I was kind of trying to give him the opportunity.
But you also start a little bit of trouble. You're fishing for a little friction, it sounds like.
And he's like, oh, I'm Alex. I was like, oh, yeah.
You should be like, oh, Alex Rodriguez, the great Alex Rodriguez. Right, exactly. No, I'm Alex Avila. Get lost. You stink.
I'm like, I have family in Michigan. I think they're big fans, you know? Yeah. That's basically what I said to him. And then he walks away, and one of my coworkers looks at me, what are you, crazy? Why are you asking him who he is? You know who he is? I'm like, because he didn't have, like, a normal human interaction with me.
Yeah. Sounds a little haughty. Like sounds a little full of himself.
That you're Alex Avila.
Good. Well, did you make him feel bad? I hope you did.
I think by asking who he was, that was enough.
There's the
that was
ego
a hit
shot.
On the ego. Yeah.
Good job, man. I'll tell you one time, and this it's hard to even really picture this, even though you can see the imagery, like whether it's an old Yankeeography with Mattingly. There really, and Dove, you know this, but you got to be of a certain age. There was a point Yankee Stadium was empty. So I'm early in college, and we drive down from Marist, and I'm with three guys. You know, we're having a good time tailgating, whatever we're doing. Just keep the story moving. Just trust me, we're having a good time. And we weren't being rude. We weren't cursing. But Wade Boggs plays, so this is probably 93, playing third base for the Yanks. And whatever, we were yelling, because we were able to move down close to third base because it was pretty empty. He just looks at us. He goes, yo, guys, go the bleep home. You sound like idiots. And he dropped an F-bomb on us. I'm like, yeah, probably right. I mean, it's probably time to get the check. So, but that's different. I think he was kind of having a little bit of fun. Avila walking around like he's, you know, Miguel Cabrera, you know, or Ty Cobb, a real great Tiger. Oh, goodness gracious. All right. 888-808-1019 is the number here. Get back to these calls. 3RQ coming up this hour. And also, now, I know he's got to be in charge and he's got to make the right decisions when the bullets start flying for real. But there's some more evidence that my man AG ain't playing.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Come on, man. We talked about this. It's like, you know, walk-up music, getting into the batter's box, coming out of a tunnel. You can't hit me with that stuff. I'm not on a date. You know, I'm not sitting there with my wife having a glass of what, John Mayer? No. We'll get back to the Yanks and Met calls here. But first, a little NFL talk on the fan brought to you by Paramount Plus. Well, you can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. So watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com. All right. So, you know, I love the approach so far by Aaron Glenn. Now, there's an expiration point on that. We're nowhere near it. It's his first year. It is a losing culture. You don't fumigate that stench and eradicate that mess in 1 week or one camp. Doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. You plant the seeds, you get the guys that you don't believe in or don't have the work ethic or the values. Slowly they get phased out. You get your guys and you look up, and if all is well and things are going right, by the middle of the season in year one, we'll have an early sense if this thing is going to, if it's trending at least favorably. Not if it's going to work, that would be a quick read, but at least if it's like, okay, yeah, as we thought, penalties down maybe a little bit, Jets running the ball, Jets more competitive, no noise. But I'll tell you this, this man can never win a game as the head coach of the Jets in 3 years, and there is nobody that's going to play him at a press conference. This man is razor sharp. So he's asked about the concerns, which obviously is a very good question. Jets have not thrown the ball well during the summer at all. And, you know, he was asked about, you know, can you win this way? And I paraphrase, but can you win this way? And, you know, how far can the running game take you when you're overly reliant? I'm just kind of inserting that. But that was the gist of what the reporter, was it Cimini, by the way? Or was it, I don't even know if we found
I'm not sure who it was, but I have the clip here.
All right, well, let me set it up. Okay. So he's asked about the passing and the run and the lack of passing so far and the exchange, and it's just beyond brilliant. And the thing is, he doesn't know that this question's coming. So this is a man who is quick on his feet and is able to immediately, and we'll play in a moment, able to get right back to his point and not get taken off the road by a reporter trying to get to another point. Check it out.
Is there any concern about your ability to go downfield and whatnot?
Who says it's a passing lead?
Isn't
that kind of... The team that won the Super Bowl, what were they in passing? 29th.
Yeah.
What were they in running? First.
Defense, obviously, but...
Well, we talked about offense.
Oh, that's my guy. I'm going to say it all year. AG ain't playing. So, and I'm not even saying that the reporter was trying to walk him into a story. No, I don't think that was necessarily it. Yeah, good question. I mean, they've been very benign throwing the ball. They haven't showed a whole lot, and they got to get another receiver. They have to get another receiver outside of Garrett Wilson, even though they're going to try to run it 30-plus times. But I love the way that went down. So the starting point is, hey, listen, this is a passing league. You know, are you going to be able to get by? Oh, who says it's a passing league? Kansas City was 29th. They won the championship. And now since the reporter, and no disrespect to the reporter, again, good question, with merit. Now the reporter, quick on his feet, is like, well, you know, the Chiefs also had, you know, defense and was getting into other elements of what they do well. And Aaron's like, we're talking about offense. That's just good. That is really, really well done. And, you know, I talk about Aaron Boone being able to mitigate stories and tension and problems. You know, I think it's going to be a little bit maybe, I think Aaron's going to be a little bit more, maybe confrontational is a little strong, but you know what I mean? Maybe a little bit more than Boone. But I, the early sign for me from Aaron is that, I'm not surprised because he played here, is that he gets it. He knows what you want. He knows what is expected. And there's just no BS, man. You know, you got to understand, it's just too easy to say, well, he played for Parcells and he's going to be this, that, the other thing. Okay, well, first of all, what I love about him is that, yeah, he did play for Parcells, but he played for the Jets when they were at their absolute lowest point, and then Parcells came in, and he was able to see. Now, he's not necessarily processing that as a head coach when he's a 24-year-old corner and kick returner, but obviously, based on what he's done with his life work here, the game of football, even if he didn't know it at the time, he always had aspirations to learn the game on a deeper level, right? Same with Girardi when Joe was catching for the Yankees and the Cubs. That's why, that's why he was a manager. Same with Joe Torre back in the day. So I just think that there's a deep level of understanding how to, like, what is the first step to just get this thing moving positively, favorably, just get a little traction. We're not asking for 11 wins. Can we just get competent football? Can we decrease the penalties? Which by far, you know, so far they haven't. I get that. And that's why it doesn't happen in one camp. But I love that answer. I absolutely loved it. I mean, you know, basically, how are you going to win without a passing attack? Kansas City won the championship. They didn't really pass. 29th. Yeah, but they had this. We're talking about offense. Next question. That's great. All right, 888-808-1019. Back to the baseball. And how believable is this little recent teeny-weeny tiny snippet of improved play by the Yanks Mets? How are you taking it? Maurice in Greensboro, North Carolina, Free Odyssey app. Mo, what's happening?
Hey, BT, man. How are you doing, man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm getting ready for Aaron to blow by here. Y'all get it soon. But just wanted to have two questions, one on the Mets and one on the Jets, if I could.
Hit me up, man. What do you got? All right.
On the Mets aspect of it, I think it's great that Vientos is going to turn around. If Mendoza can keep him in this series and get ready for the Philly series, his career stats against the Phillies is pretty decent. He's got 15 hits, 2 home runs, 7 ribs, and 9 runs scored in 21 games with the Phillies. So get him in the lineup, keep him in there, whether the left hand or right hand, keep him in there so he can prepare for the Phillies, because he's going to be a big key for us to go down this stretch.
Yeah, he's big. And by the way, and I'll let you get to the Jet point too, he is a big key. Now, they've managed to stay afloat without him really doing anything this season, but I'm going to ask you, so do you think it's more important, because two things we haven't seen this season is the Mets' top four, their big four bats, you know, really play well or hit well simultaneously, and we also haven't seen Vientos. So if I said to you, all four, you know, for the most part, you're not going to get 3 hits every night, it's baseball, but for the most part, the top four Mets hitters clicking, or two of those guys clicking and Vientos waking up, which one would you take?
I would take the top four. Now with Francisco Lindor turning around and now hitting, was played a week last week,
yeah,
that's going to be key. And it also with with Soto now turning around, he can just get consistent with the average. Because he's right now driving the ball now well, but it's got to just turn that around. His ups and downs got to stop. He's got to be more on a consistent level.
Yeah, I agree. You know, for that kind of money, for the kind of player he is, he's had a good season, not a Juan Soto season. But that can change with going bonkers again, winning player of the month again, and then being Soto in October. What was your Jets thing?
Just like you said, I want to co-sign on what you said. Aaron Glenn, he's a lifer, man. He is a lifer football player. Came from Texas A&M.
Yep.
Followed his whole career. I'm a huge Jets fan, man. A diehard Jets fan. He was from the lows with Al Groh era. Then went to Parcells. And like you said, Parcells did tutelage him. He went to Parcells for, you know, giving him the coaching opportunity and stuff of that nature. But Aaron Glenn lives and dies with football. And that's why I love him.
He really does. It's so obvious. Thanks for the call there, Mo. And by the way, if you guys want to get some more Jet stuff, check out the Unkillable Pod. I dropped one the other night. That's what? Number 32. And that's on WFAN YouTube, obviously Spotify, Apple, wherever you guys get your pods. Unkillable. Just do the search. And this episode was all about the Jets offense. Passing, from a passing perspective. So, Unkillable. Check it out. 888-808-1019. Nick down in South Carolina. Hello, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, DT?
Good. How you doing?
Thanks for taking my call. I'm fine, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I had a quick comments on Judge. I don't think it was to anybody's surprise. I think we all kind of knew this a couple weeks back, yourself included, that this was going to be the end result, that him playing right field was a limited duty. So we're stuck with, okay, how do we keep Stanton's bat in the lineup if he's going to be DHing? And I've heard people say, well, we'll platoon Stanton and Judge in right field. And that's a good idea on paper, but here's the problem I have. If you put Judge in right field and we're playing the Blue Jays, mm-hmm. and he plays one off the wall and someone's coming around third and it's a tie score game, you know he's a great athlete. He's a gamer.
Yep.
He's going to try to fire a rocket right to home plate to take the guy out and get him out at home and save the game. If he does that, it's a big gamble that he injures himself and we lose him for the rest of the season. So my question is,
Nick, hold on. I mean, you know, worst case, it wouldn't just be the rest of the season if that thing blows out, God forbid,
yeah.
next year.
Yeah. So what do we do? How do we keep Stanton's bat in the lineup, but yet have Judge, you know, not playing every day in right field?
Don't know.
It's a problem we have, and they've got to figure something out, because if you need both those bats in order for us to really go through the wild card process and maybe even get to a World Series, both those bats have to be in the lineup. You know, so I don't know where you could put Judge. I don't know. What are you going to do? Tell the guy, no, don't throw a rocket to home plate to try to save the game. It's not in him. It's not him. He's just going to fire it off and then you're gambling. So, and the only other thing I want to say is, how does a guy like Stanton, who's built like an Adonis, mm-hmm. be so fragile to being injured?
Well, I think it just comes down to, in the case of Stanton, thanks for the call there, Nick, Tiki always says bad cells. Remember that, though? Bad cells, Tiki would say that. I think it's probably, and I believe that, but it's probably just tight ligaments and tight tendons. It's not like vertebrae. It's always a strain here, calf, a pull, you know, the ligaments, the tendons, things that stretch. He's probably, I don't know for sure. He's just probably not incredibly flexible, and it manifests itself a lot of different ways. But I think the way you play this the rest of the way, pertaining to Nick's point about, you know, Judge, how do you tell him not to air one out? Well, you could tell him, but then big spot, big game, somebody chugging around third, tagging up, you know, moderately deep. He's going to unleash 195, or at least he's going to try to. Instincts take over. So I think the starting point is you run Stanton out there as much as you can. Like, you start with that. If Stanton's right, you let him play. Maybe not three games again in the outfield, Booney. Maybe two. And kind of get that preemptive rest day built in a little earlier. And just try to run him into the ground and, you know, see how he finishes the race. And it's not like Stanton's got 10 more years to go on the contract. I'm not saying you want to be cavalier and risk losing him for October. But, you know, with the inability of Judge to play right field, now you go a little Caballero. There's things to do. But again, the basis of the Yankee conversation for far too long has been what? You guys know, because I've said this a million times. Roster, what? Construction. This is just another example. 8-8, although this isn't their fault because Judge got hurt, but again, it ties into too many guys, too many spots, not really equipped to have a more diverse plan. They're limited. 888-808-1019 is the number. BT and Sal on the Fan coming up. A little 3RQ. Had a little fun with that.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
All right, always have a little fun with this here. Once a week, three random questions, a little 3RQ to get away from the meat grinder of the baseball season and the football season. Kind of step out of bounds a little bit. So Sal is out. Rami, what did you cook up there, buddy? Hopefully you have something good. Go ahead.
So we were alerted by our brand manager, Ryan Hurley. Today is National
just
Radio
call him the
Day.
Boss. You don't have to, he's the boss.
That's the title on his email.
I understand, but you don't have to be so specific. He's the boss. Go ahead.
The boss, Ryan Hurley. I won't call him what the morning show calls him.
Wow.
Like they've earned.
What do they call him?
Okay, fine. Now I have to. Yeah. Big Hurls. Have you heard that?
Big Hurls?
Yeah.
I came up with that.
So you're saying that's a you thing?
Well, I used to call him that 20 years ago.
Oh, right. You knew him for longer.
He used to be my producer for a little bit.
That's true. So speaking of National Radio Day.
Yes, yes.
And so I wanted to ask you about some of your career path throughout this industry and some of what you've gone through. So it's a little bit more than three questions because a lot of the questions have parts to them.
Oh, good. Well, and we all know. And nobody rambles like me. I got you.
So the first question was, when did you know this was something you wanted to do for a living? Now, I know we all had moments where obviously we thought we wanted to do this as little kids who wouldn't want to get paid to talk about sports.
Yeah.
But when did it really become something that was real for you? And I know you also asked Ray in Wappinger Falls, you asked him what his first call to the radio station or any radio station was.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your first call in and when did you first realize this could be a career for you?
Our first call in, I got absolutely abused. I called Richard Neer.
All right.
And it was probably around 1987 or so. So a couple of years after Patrick was drafted and it was early on a Saturday and I'm like, all right, let me go in my basement so I don't wake my parents up and I'm a hole for one. And then when you actually hear that click and you know, you're on the air, I'm like, oh, I'm on the air. Well, here we go. And I got a little nervous. I didn't get nervous. I got a little tight. I wasn't exactly wordy. I was very short. And I said something along
Changed.
Yeah. You think? I mean, I was generally very chatty, but like at that moment, I just climbed up a little bit. And I said something like, Richard, I may even said Mr. Neer. I don't know what the hell I said, but I said, we got to get somebody for Patrick Ewing. Like, this just isn't good enough. I said, we got to get Mullen from Golden State, St. John's kid. And next thing I know, I hear click, shh, I'm disconnected. He's like, yeah, like the Warriors are going to give the Knicks Chris Mullen. Yeah, what an idea. And that's it. That's all I got out of it. I'm like, wow, Richard Neer coming with the smoke.
And you usually don't hear the response. I've been on that other end where it just hangs up. You're like, wait, what happened?
Yeah.
You thought you got disconnected or something. You have to go back and hear the response.
Well, back then, there's no app. So I'm actually recording on this massive contraption that I had. And it was so embarrassing, I couldn't even play it for my friends. They would have been like, dude, exactly. You got abused. I'm like thinking I'm going to, my first real radio moment. So that was the first call. Like, when did I really know that I wanted to do this? I'd have to say almost immediately. Like, I wanted to be a baseball player, obviously. Now, you have to understand, my age, like, radio was not the first thing that you thought of. And I didn't really think of TV, even though I've done a lot of TV. I thought of becoming a writer. Like, I thought that writing was the most conventional sense for me to get in the industry, right? And when I went to Marist, obviously, declared journalism major, focused on the writing. Most people did internships and went to, you know, like a Syracuse or with all these contacts. I didn't know anybody. Had to get my hustle on, a lot like Sal, too. And I would basically just do, like, fake radio shows with myself or whatever, and I would just fall asleep to the station every night. So I know that that's a very broad description, but I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I knew I was going to get there, even though if it was a path that very few people took, if that makes any sense.
Yep, that makes
kept
a lot.
Kept grinding, man.
So that actually leads me perfectly into my second question, which is, what is kind of that career story? What was your foot in the door? We know we talked about Michigan and ESPN, and obviously you were in California, so it is a hustle. I experienced that. My first job in the industry was in sales. So
yeah, oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was your...
Okay, so you got to understand, I graduated from Marist, and because I was playing baseball, I didn't have time for internships, right? So it was just, you know, baseball and school. And, of course, probably more baseball party and then school, to be totally honest with you, but whatever. So I have a degree. I've got no practical experience. I have no contacts. So I remember, and I've told this story before, so I'll try to keep it tight. There was a job fair at the Old Meadowlands, and I guess I had applied for, like, signed up for it. Not even apply. Anybody could go. And I guess I mailed in $20, whatever it was, and it was through the Nets. And I was on Long Island at my college girlfriend's home at the long time ago, ex-girlfriend at college. And my mom calls me, and she's like, hey, you got something from the Nets. I know they're not about to draft me. So I'm like, well, I think it's for that thing. Open it up. She opens it up. She's like, and long story short, it was actually the next day. So I had to come back from Long Island, which I wasn't planning on doing. And I go, and I meet a gentleman, an old time, Dove, you'll know the name, like Eric Spitz, Chernoff, Francesa, Russo, everybody will know this name. You won't. Name is Brian Bruder. You know Brian Bruder. He was up in promotions for a long time.
Yep.
Great guy. And I go to this. It was like you pay $20. You get tickets to. They played the Heat that night against Alonzo Mourning. Nets Heat sitting up top with my best friend. If I just want to go to the job fair. And I waited until literally the last person. And all I cared about was the WFA in line. I did not care about. And there was a lot of other stuff going on. I wait. And he was, I think, impressed with my initiative. And he's like, boy, he's like, you already graduated? I said, I did. He's like, we do internships, but not post-grad. I'm like, And whatever I said to try to further convince him to change his mind, he said, give me a number, and I'll see what I can do. I'm like, he's not going to do anything, right? So I had just gotten my first apartment. I'm out of school with my best friend. Dad owned the building. The only reason we could live in this apartment because we had peanuts. We were broke. So we're playing a video game. Brian Bruder calls. He says, hey, he said, why don't you come down tomorrow? Let's talk more. I get all suited up. I put on a suit. I have one suit. Put on a suit. Connie, what was Connie's last name?
Fitzgerald.
Or what is it? Yes. I meet Connie Fitzgerald, Brian Bruder in this massive boardroom. For what? There's no job. And they basically just said, we can't turn you away. Like, your enthusiasm is so infectious, and your love for radio in this place is so apparent. We'll do something we never did. We'll give you an internship. No college credit. Just show up. So I'm driving the WFAN fan van, going to like the Meadowlands, giving out free shirts, free tickets. Just, and in my mind, I'm like, I made it. Like, I'm at WFAN. Now, this is the funny part. I'm up in the promotions, and I played on the softball team too. With Francesa, Bill Daughtry.
They just need a good baseball player.
Well, dude, I'm coming off the college field, so I'm like, all right, this is really time to get loose, right? They bat me 10th. I'm like, what are you, nuts? 10th? Come on. This isn't going to take long to change some opinions, unless they're hanging on to the data. So anyway, I am up in the promotions department. I didn't do, and I'm not trying to like to sound cool because it's not, I didn't do a single thing for promotions all summer. I would go down and basically hide for 5 hours from promotions. And listen, Dove, you don't know me. I used to see you all the time. Listen to, like, Mike and Chris from a distance. See, I really had no purpose. And I found an old studio where they would do commercials and spots and air checks and all that stuff.
Production studio.
Yeah, yes, production studio. Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. And I would basically recruit another intern who was there with purpose, and I would do fake radio shows.
Right.
I swear, like, it really, in hindsight, dude, made no sense what I was trying to do. But that was my way of, no matter how many doors slam shut, I'm going to be a WFAN at some point, and I'm damn well going to be on the radio. So from there, because the real question, how did I actually get on the air? I just sent a letter to every sports station in the country, hand to Bible, radio and TV, starting with the A's and ending with, like, Wyoming. And nobody even wrote back. Couple did. One was in Pennsylvania. I go for an interview. I get the morning show job. No demo tape, no resume, pure passion. And the first job was $16,000 a year in 1999. And I'm doing high school football games for $50 a pop. And then from there, I got a little. I got to learn the business, and then the other steps that you mentioned.
Yeah, glad to see the salaries haven't changed much. But
speak for yourself, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
They changed a little bit.
I'm talking about the entry level.
Yeah.
But it is also cool to hear that when that door opens for you, you kick it down. That's been the case that I found for everyone.
You
here.
Have to.
Yep. And so last is, what was, if you had one, the either I made it moment, that first I made it moment, or a career highlight that you had?
The I made it moment. I mean, there's a couple where I look back and I'm like, geez, I can't even believe I did that. Like, play-by-play for the Knicks, filling in a couple times, or obviously my first St. John's game at the Garden. That's definitely one. Like, the first St. John's game, they played Marquette. And I just remember, again, not even knowing how to call the game. I was the analyst. I was with Crispino, Tariq Turner, good buddy Tariq, still involved in the game, Fox, et cetera, and does some St. John's games. And I'm like, wow, I'm sitting in the Marty Glickman radio booth, not knowing really how to do any of this stuff, and I'm calling a Coaches versus Cancer St. John's game. That's one. I really think for me, it got real in Detroit. Like, when I got to Detroit, which at that point was a top 10 market, and like back then, you would judge your radio progress by moving up in markets.
Correct.
Now, that's the way it used to be. Like, you talk to Stern and Mike and Chris, like, you know, I miss. It was, all right, am I in a top 10? Am I a top 5? Am I number 1? And going to Detroit, you know, now I have a press pass for every team. I'm going to every Pistons game. And I would say the moment probably was when Rick Carlisle called my show. And I had only been in Detroit for about a month or so. And I'm talking hoops. My old boss is like, don't talk Pistons. Talk Lions and talk Michigan football. I'm like, I'm talking, you know, I'm talking what I want, because I know what the Pistons mean.
And was it 06? Was it that
no,
era?
No, this is 03.
Okay.
04. Wait, 03, 04.
But they were still good then.
No, they were coming off a wretched run.
Oh, okay.
And then this was Rick's first season.
Okay.
So I'm talking about the Pistons, and, you know, I'm saying whatever I'm saying, and Rick calls up my producer, who was a female, Marty, awesome. I had so much fun with her. Not that way, just great friends, cool as hell, right? Partied with her, great producer, awesome woman, terrific person. And she says in my ear, she goes, I don't know if it's really but Rick Carlisle's on the phone. I'm like, put him on, dude, put him on. But I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, if it's really Rick, I got the head coach of the Pistons calling me. That's a win. And if it's not, I'll just make fun of it, mess around, whatever the hell happens. I don't care. So I think when he called me, and then we established a good relationship, and then I got to know, like, you know, Ben Wallace and some of these Pistons, and I, like, that's when it's felt real. So I, and then of course after that I came to New York and very grateful. And the thing is, I know we got a break, but I we're doing this because it's National Radio Day, not because I want to talk about myself. You asked me this stuff. All right.
Yeah, this is my fault. This is 100% on me.
That's, I would have asked.
This is better than any other questions I could have come up with anyway. I like this.
I do too. I do, because it reinforces how tough it is, and I think it also reinforces, not that I haven't earned it, I have, but how lucky you have to be to have people that champion you, you know, to be at the right place at the right time. When you're in the right place, you got to deliver when you get that first look there. And I didn't always deliver. Sometimes you stumble. But the thing that I think is missing from, how old are you exactly now?
I'm just turned 28.
All right. It's 28 and below. You're out of college, journalism degree, broadcast degree, these big broadcasting dreams. It's easier to get on the air because there's a million ways to do it. I think it's harder to cut through because there's so many voices. So that kind of offsets. But the one thing that I don't think your generation and younger does anymore, they don't get in their car, piss poor broke, with this radio dream. get a little dump apartment and go on the air and figure it out in real time with the ability to make mistakes without, like, back in the day, Raceman writing about you or Mushnick or getting crushed on social media because there's 300 people listening because you're in the middle of Wyoming or you're in the middle of Allentown, PA, like I was. Like, to me, that has been taken away from the business. And I don't think that that's a good thing because I think it's something to, there's something to be said for making mistakes on a stage that's small. And we're all going to make mistakes. But when if you're lucky enough and good enough to get to the big stage, you've learned how to deal with those stumbles. That's missing.
100%. I mean, I was in Baltimore for 2 years, so I could definitely relate to that aspect of it.
You get it. So, but you're, you know, you're of the few. Now, listen, some people in our business, yeah, he's on a different station, but I love him, and I'm happy with the devil. Don LaGreca. Don LaGreca's been doing radio, what, 30 years? Yep. Never had a lead in New York. Now, I'm not saying he didn't have to get his hustle on. That's rare. I mean, he was here for a long time doing updates and doing some side shifts at WFAN. But generally, you got to bounce the old days. Bounce. Look at Stern's movie. Little tiny station here, Westchester, move up, Detroit, Rock City, boom, 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 boom. And he's Stern.
And so different now with internet and podcasts.
That's
and
what I'm saying.
You could just put your stuff out there. And yes, maybe 30 people are listening, but yep, it's some demo.
Yeah, and I don't begrudge, because I don't begrudge pro athletes making all these gazillions of dollars. I don't begrudge the younger generation of broadcasters having an easier, or maybe not easier, a more direct route. I don't begrudge them for that. But what I do feel, and again, this is my generation, they missed out on, number one, a lot of fun. Because when you're traveling the city and the country and you're making peanuts, you know what? All right, you're not rich, but you're getting after it. And you're learning. And I just think for me, not the stereotype, for me, it's a deeper appreciation for what I do every day. So
and valuable experience, I think, as well.
No
because
doubt.
You can't replicate that. Even if you have a small podcast that no one's listening to, you can't replicate the experience of having to hustle for it and work for it. And some people who don't have that will never have that hustle.
Nope.
They just won't.
No, I know. I know. And again, you know, there's a lot of people in our business. Their dads are in the business, whatever, and they're very talented. I didn't have that. You know, so there's two roads. I think the one thing that's the road is if you have hookup, you know, and a passion, that's one road, or you have passion and no hookup, you got to figure it out more. But the one thing that's non-negotiable, you got to love the spoken word. At the end of the day, it could be a podcast, it could be radio, it could be whatever you want. Any form of communication.
I did traffic updates in Baltimore.
Yeah. Me too. In Allentown, I'm mispronouncing roads.
Yep.
I would do the traffic, and I swear to God, I'd have to say, like, there's cows on so-and-so Avenue. I'm like, what? What? I would just make fun of it.
We were supposed to call it just debris. If there's anything that you don't know, just call it debris in the roadway. Yeah, that's what they told us.
Yeah, but I think that at the end of the day, you got to, no matter the medium or the form of it, and this is more for the younger generation coming up, you got to love to connect because there's nothing more intimate than this. Yeah, you could be on SportsCenter or on some other mess and go for it. Making millions in a $3,000 suit, looking good. Are you really connecting with the audience? Or are you showing highlights? That's why this thing, this is where it's at for me.
Well, happy National Radio Day, everyone.
Yes, that's what we're doing here. I don't know what we're doing anymore. All right. Three random questions sponsored by they got their money's worth. Huh? Rothenberg Law Firm. Injured, visit injurylawyer.com. This guy, we'll do an update. You know what I'm saying, though. The old hustle back in the day, there was
there's no gatekeepers anymore because you could just buy some equipment and put it up on the internet and can get
figure it out
right,
or
figure it out
get
that
devoured
way, yep.
Or become a millionaire.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. I like the old school way better. You?
I'm old, so yes, I like
we
the
have
old
no
school.
Choice.
I have no choice.
We've got to say it. All right, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the film. Come back, get these Yanks and Mets calls. It is National Radio Day. Gordon's update coming at you as well. Here we go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit SmileGeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.